With 114D deep in processing mode, Plagueis withdrew a vial of his own blood and subjected it to analysis. Despite the recent amplification of his powers, he sensed that his midichlorian count had not increased since the events on Baldemnik, and the analysis of the blood sample confirmed his suspicions. Research had long ago established that blood transfusions from force-sensitive individuals did not confer force powers to recipients, though blood with high midichlorian count could grant temporary strength and resiliency. Experiments in absolute transfusion had gone horribly awry for recipients, suggesting to some that the force exacted a toll on those who attempted to tamper with it. An individual's midichlorians seemed to know to whom they belonged and become unresponsive outside their dedicated vessel. While midichlorians appeared to resist manipulation of a sort that might imperil the balance of the force, they remained passive, even compliant, in the case of a weak-willed being manipulated by one who was strong in the force. Perhaps that explained why it was often easier to call on the force to heal someone other than oneself. Extending life, then, could hinge on something as simple as being able to induce midichlorians to create new cells, to subdivide at will, increasing their numbers into the tens of thousands to heal or replace damaged, aging, or metastatic cells. Midichlorians had to be compelled to serve the needs of the body, to bestow strength when needed, to overcome physical insult, or prevent cells from reaching senescence. If one accepted the tales handed down in accounts and holocrons, the ancient Sith had known how to accomplish this. But had Sith like Naga Sadao and Exar Kun genuinely been more powerful? Or had they benefited from the fact that the dark side had been more prominent in those bygone eras? Some commentators claimed that the ability to survive death had been limited to those with a talent for sorcery and alchemy, and that the use of such practices actually predated the arrival of the Dark Jedi exiles on Korriban. But sorcery had been employed less to extend life than to create illusions, fashion beasts, and resurrect the dead. Powerful adepts were said to have been able to saturate the atmosphere of planets with dark side energy, compel stars to explode or induce paralysis in crowds, as Exar Kun apparently did to select members of the Republic Senate. Other adepts used sorcery merely as a means to better understand ancient Sith spells and sigils. Darth Bane had referred to sorcery as one of the purest expressions of the dark side of the Force, and yet he hadn't been able to harness those energies with near the skill as had his one-time apprentice, Zana. Bane's disciples, however, believed that he had experimented with a technique of even greater significance, that of essence transfer, which he had learned after acquiring and plundering the holocron of Darth Undedu, and which involved the relocation of an individual's consciousness into another body, or in some cases, a talisman, temple, or sarcophagus. Thus had the most powerful of the ancient Sith lords survived death to haunt and harass those who would infiltrate their tombs. But none of this amounted to corporeal survival.